Our objective is to gather together to do dhikr, to remember Allah. And sometimes what occurs is that we get the opportunity, the chance, not to speak, or the mood isn't not there to speak. And it's obvious, yesterday, that for example we spoke, had a discussion, and today, alhamdulillah, we are gathered again, together. And there was nothing in my mind that I could present to you. I was thinking, and my feeling was this, that it's tired, I'm tired, etc. But Allah Ta'ala is merciful, and something Allah Ta'ala instills into the mind during the time of Salah, and as we reached here and gathered together. And sometimes, mashallah, the things that we discuss are very beneficial for me, and then I think about these things, then I discuss them and I share them, that let me speak these points, and then alhamdulillah, this is from Allah Ta'ala, and Allah Ta'ala instills everything a person's mind has, it's all from Allah. Allah Ta'ala gives the guidance. And there are people like this, who get this sort of direction, and there are people who also listen, and do amal, and practice alhamdulillah. And their darajat increase, their status increases towards its their destination, and they listen, alhamdulillah. Allah Ta'ala's qurb, nearness, they attain Jannah, the maqam, and the great levels of Jannah they're attaining. And today the subject, the discussion, and mashallah, our discussions and subjects are unique and beneficial. And what we see is that our ibadah, our worship, the basis of our worship is one. And we'll have to accept this, that whenever we speak a good thing, whenever amal we talk about, a good deed in the form of worship, then behind that there's a point, or there's some sort of force, and on that I will speak today. For everyone has this in their mind, whether we practice a so-called small act of worship or a big act of worship. What is it? What's the veil? What's behind our action? Thawab. Reward. Is this not the case? Is this not the objective? Whichever deed we do, there's no deed that we practice behind which we're not thinking about thawab. Okay, if I do this action, there's a lot of reward. Isn't it? We say this. Oh, do this action, this worship action, lot of thawab, lot of reward. So thawab is what is pushing us from behind, or it's the key that's ticking and it's unwinding and pushing us towards the action. Isn't it? Now look. It's night time, everyone's sleeping, and a man's jumping up from his bed, or the sister or the brother, they jump up from their bed, they go straight towards the water, they do wudu, ablution. It's severely cold, and we think, okay, it's not fard, and then the person stands and does niyyah for tahajjud. What a difficult action. Think, it's not fard, it's not compulsory, he stands for tahajjud. And behind this is what? Is what? What's the pushing force? The good news, those men and women who stand for tahajjud and night time, then they will get such abodes in Jannah Paradise, they are bigger than palaces, such mansions within which, and from within and outside is so transparent. You'll see the outside from the inside and the inside from the outside. These are the mansions and palaces that Allah has constructed. And who will attain this? Those who pray tahajjud. So we think in our mind, oh, that's great reward. That's it, I'm going to sacrifice my time and get up in the night and pray. This is the meaning, isn't it? That's why we do it. Now let's go towards Salah. And we say, okay, it's Fajr Salah. Okay, we'll pray in congregation. Ah, thawab. And Fajr completes. We go to our homes and sleep. No. Then we stay there in the masjid. No, let's stay seated for a little while, because there's a lot of reward, thawab, at Ishraq time. We stay up till sunrise and pray 2 rakah or 4 rakah. There's the Hajj and Umrah, thawab, reward. You're feeling sleepy and tired, but those who have the zaq, who have the passion, they say, okay, let's sit down for a while. They sit down. They remember Allah. They do, but okay, forget. Let's do some dhikr. Why just sit? Let's do some dhikr. Then another thawab. Why are you doing dhikr? Oh, there's a lot of reward. Lord of reward. So what we see here is a cumulative sort of summing up. So you do nafil, you do ishraq, this is voluntary, and there's reward. If you do chast, which is mid-morning, Thawab, if you do another time you pray Salah Thawab, you're sitting down reading Quran. Why are you reading? Don't you know that for every word, every letter, there's 10 rewards? That's the answer that's going to come, isn't it? So now we have come here, we've left home. That is there no masjid near to your home that you could have prayed? Was it Darul Taqwa, Masjid Taqwa, that you had to come to? I left a few masjids and came. I ran here and I came and I came and I came. And a person, for example, he gets tired going far from home. And I get tired because we're lazy. And why have I come here? Why did you come here? Which area have you come from? Blackburn Road? Which road is it? We're sitting here in this masjid. We could have gone to another masjid, Darul Taqwa, Masjid Taqwa. And how many people are here? MashaAllah, it's full up, it's full of noor at this time. Why have you come? I've come for dhikr. There's a lot of reward for dhikr. Oh, so there's reward. So when we recite these kalamas, subhanallah wa bihamdi, if you recite it once or 100 times, and then on the day of judgment, what will be the thawab for these verses? Why have you come? There's a lot of reward. I've heard a person who recites subhanallah wa bihamdi 100 times in the morning or in the evening, then on the day of judgment in the hereafter, that he will get the most reward for this deed. For this deed. So do you have that passion? Do we have that desire? Why are you doing dhikr? Oh, dhikr is a great action, beautiful action. If we do dhikr, that our forefathers, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, from above at the time of Mi'raj, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went on the ascension, and Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam called Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, come here, listen. He was sitting with his back leaning against the Kaaba, and Rasulullah sallallahu went to meet him. And when Rasulullah saw Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, he said that your ummah, your nation is a very good ummah. Tell them, give them the news, the communication, that, what is that? That your amal, the field of your worship deeds is up in the heavens. And when you do the deeds here, your land will bear the fruit and the plants there. So if you keep on doing dhikr here on the earth, you won't see anything here. But there the work will start. Your palaces, the trees, the buildings, the roads, everything will be constructed for you in the heavens. So these are two great nabis, two prophets of Allah. And they're talking about dhikr. So Allah Ta'ala has made you a dhakir. What's behind this? What's the reason? Thawab, reward. And today if I say there's no thawab for dhikr, will anybody come in? No, nobody will come. There's no reward for tahajjud, whether you read it or you not. Very few people. Who will get up in the cold? Will anybody get up? Wake up? One sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why do we practice it? Ah, a lot of reward. What is the reward? Oh, massive, massive reward. And if we believe in this, if we follow this, do miswak, apply surma kolirim to the eyes, and sit down and drink water, and sit down on eating, eat while we're sitting down, or sit in this posture for this action, or drink water in 3 sips, 3 gulps, read this dua, and after eating, read this dua, and first wash your hands before eating, and don't dry it, and after you finish eating, when you wash the hands, then you dry the hands. So upon all of these actions, what is the thawab? Massive thawab. Is this not the case? Do you have yaqeen? Certainty? So should we not practice the sunnah? Why? Because there's thawab. There's reward. Thawab. We pursue thawab. Okay, today the point that comes to my mind that I want to share with you. Today, shall I not tell you a thawab, a reward, which is without any comparison. We earn so much thawab. So take one thawab from me today. Let me explain one thawab to you, which has no comparison. What is that reward? What is the reward? First, I will present a little bit of introduction about this amal, and what is the destination of this action, and what is the thawab for this action. We've heard about thawab up to now, but in reality, this thawab overwhelms all the other rewards. Shall I explain that amal to you? The action? Who wants me to tell them this piece of news? This is such a great action that it will overwhelm all the other deeds that we do, and the reaction of that deed, in other words, the result, the thawab, is direct paradise immediately, straight away. And proper Jannah straight away. And with respect. And in this state, I tell you that all our life, that person will never have prostrated. He will have never committed a good deed. He doesn't even know what is a good deed, or she doesn't know what is a good deed. And a person's immersed in sins. But if he practices this deed, direct paradise. Direct. Do you want to hear about this? Yes. Will you practice this then? You make a solid promise. And who will give the invitation then after that? MashaAllah, I'm explaining to you. There's such a man who all his life has not even smelt a good deed, and Allah makes him do this action straight like that, immediately into paradise. No sujood, no prostration, no salah, no ishraq, no fard, no Quran recitation, no taraweeh, no Ramadan, no fasting. Where has he gone? He was going to the negative. But he's done this amal, immediate paradise. Should we not do this deed? We should. Now let's go towards the hadith. You think I'm just chatting? Then let's look at this sahih hadith with the sahih isnad. Sahih narration. And who is the narrator? The sahih chain and the ashik of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, the lover of Rasulullah ﷺ, my grandfather, Hazrat Ibn Umar radiyallahu anhu, the Faruqi, because they are my forefathers, beautiful son, great son of Hazrat Umar radiyallahu anhu. And Hazrat Umar radiyallahu anhu, then he was on the lap of his son, Hazrat Ibn Umar radiyallahu anhu. And such ishq did he have for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was the ashik. His title was the ashik of the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's why he's called ashik, the lover. He wasn't some false lover. You know, in the year, once we have the ashiks who come out. No, he wasn't like that. He was the ashik of the sunnah of Rasulullah ﷺ. The Sahaba Ikram accepted him as this and gave him this title. So I think that this is continuing in the Faruqi family, the ishq, the love of the sunnah. Subhanallah. So this is what we see. This is the kamal. This is his kamal. And now we see the hadith, how beautifully he narrated this hadith. Such enjoyment from learning this hadith and read this. And he stated, and this is the narration, through the sahih isnad. This is a Tirmidhi hadith with a sahih authentic chain of narrators and a sahih chain of narration. And he said, Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar radiyallahu anhu said that I had a habit that I would listen a lot to the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's it. That was my habit, that I would listen to the words of Rasulullah. And this was the beautiful style of this hadith. He said, I used to listen to the words of Rasulullah. Imagine how did he listen, that he's mentioning these words in the hadith. What was his style of listening? What was his mode? What was his feeling? All of the sahaba used to listen. But he said that this was my habit. I would listen carefully, uniquely to the words of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then he said the hadith after that. He said that I noted, and he was a very great sahabi and close to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, I noted that this was the blessed habit of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that never did, if he said something once, he maybe said it twice, but he wouldn't say it more than twice. Have you heard this hadith? This is the amal now. The Rasulullah ﷺ sometimes would say something once or twice, but he wouldn't repeat it more than twice. Like, you know, we say today in this majlis, I've said this to you, and in another majlis will be another point. So Rasulullah ﷺ, and this is the narration of Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar radiyallahu anhu, he said, I used to listen to the Prophet ﷺ carefully, and it would never happen that Rasulullah ﷺ in the majlis said something twice. He said that one such word there was that Rasulullah ﷺ repeated. There was one thing I noted. Ibn Umar radiyallahu anhu states that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that word was many times repeated over and over. And as I can gauge, that seven times definitely minimum, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam repeated this point. What a hadith. Look at the style. Imagine that point that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was repeating, that sometimes, never, any word, any statement of Rasulullah ﷺ was never repeated in one majlis to another majlis. If he did it once, maybe twice. But one thing I noted was this, that day, that point, that statement, Rasulullah ﷺ repeated time and time again. And as long as I can remember, it was seven times over that Nabi ﷺ repeated this statement, this point. So what was this point? And Hazrat Ibn Umar radiyallahu said that Rasulullah ﷺ mentioned an event, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said that in the Bani Israel, there was a person who didn't believe, and he was kufr, in the state of kufr, and he was a person who was like a criminal, a bandit, didn't care about anyone. All the defects of a human being were within him. He didn't even know the meaning of a good deed. And what were his actions? Once, that there was a woman in the vicinity, and he felt attracted, his heart was attracted to that woman. So he made a transaction with that woman. 60 riyals or dirham or 60 riyals. Take this money and I want to implement my passion and my bad niyyah with you. And she accepted. So 60 riyal, he took the woman and he gave the money, the cash or the dinar. And he wanted to implement his bad niyyah, his intent. He was prepared to do what he wanted to do. And when he was about to physically, when he went to the position to physically implement, then that woman started to tremble and started to cry. And when she started to tremble and shake and cry, then that person, that man said, that, why are you crying? And we accepted, we made a deal. And she said that you, if you believe in what I'm saying, then in my life I have never committed this action. This immodest action I've never committed, implemented, and I was very forced to get to this point, and that's why I'm crying. But what's going on here? What's happening to me? I was not a woman like this. I was not wrong. I wasn't a wrong person. And that man, immodest, when he heard this, then he stopped. And after stopping, he said that the 60 riyal, the dinar I gave to you, they are yours. You keep that money. And he sat to one side and said that after today, I am not going to ever do this action ever again in my life. In my life. What was the amal? That, yes. Then he went into sajda, he prayed salah, and he gave the sadaqah, and he said, I'm not going to commit this sin again after today. That's it. And then what happened? The night time fell, he passed away. This is the hadith. Night fell, he passed away. He passed away, he died. And in the morning, that at his door, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had placed a board, had given the instruction, or it was hung, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent Kufr to paradise, because his name was Kufr. And this was put in front of his door as the good news for this person. Brothers, we run from good deeds. Or we run to good deeds. Sorry, we pray tahajjud, we pray shirak and chasht, and we do such deeds. But there's no guarantee of acceptance. But when a person makes a promise to Allah that I'm not going to do this sin again, Allah Ta'ala accepts straight away. So why don't we practice this action? That how many sins we have within us and bad actions, aren't there? But we run to that direction, the opposite direction. Yeah. So we have sins within us. We have defects within us. We run towards deeds. But the valuable thing within us that we can shun, we don't pay attention to this. That Allah Ta'ala says that one amal, this deed is weightier, heavier than all of the other deeds. That if any human being rejects sin, rejects bad actions, rejects improper actions, and then his deed of rejecting the bad actions overwhelms and overweighs all of his other worship actions. Brothers, look at our lives. We do Umrah, we do Hajj. We pray salah, we prostrate, we give sadaqat, charity, we make mosques, we construct masjids, we pray taraweeh, we do all the deeds under the sun, don't we? But have we ever thought that, look, this man, I shouldn't swear at this man. I shouldn't do dhulm to this man. I shouldn't oppress this man. I shouldn't take his rights. I shouldn't break his rights. I shouldn't say bad to this person. I shouldn't curse this person. And when a person, we do all the bad actions and we forget those bad actions as if we never committed them. And when Allah Ta'ala's adab comes due to those actions, then we look at our deeds. Yaar, I just came back from Umrah. I just came back from the pilgrimage. And I just spent on this masjid and gave charity. And I constructed this masjid. And I did all of these worship actions, and we start looking to our worship. And what, how can this happen to me? But he doesn't know that in Allah's kitab, that my one action, that I looked at a person in a bad way. I ridiculed a person. I looked down at that person. I mocked that person. I said bad to a person. I was proud, and I looked down and I joked and I mocked a person. Oh, who's this person? What is this person? And oh, look at him. Look at his children. Oh, they are this and that. Allah Ta'ala grabs that person. And he is lost in his counting his deeds, I'm pious, I've prayed. But when the adab of the misdeeds comes to that person, when Allah grabs that person due to his sins, due to him breaking the rights of society and doing wrong to other people, he doesn't even realize this is a gathering of tazkiyah, purification. That's why I'm discussing these points, my brothers. The line you are traveling on, this is the line of the salik, the traveler. You do a lot of ibadat worship, you do dhikr, adhkar. But we will only get the reward and the weight of the dhikr when we leave the bad actions. It's an example of two farmers. Let's take two farmers. And farmer A, what was he doing? He had a garden or a field. It was fertile, water, put the seeds and good plants and fruits, whatever seeds he put in to grow the plants. And the other farmer B, he was a person who just put the seed in. didn't work too hard and the seeds would come out, just normal stuff, nothing valuable, and it wasn't too fertile. But when the end came of the season, the harvest, then farmer B, the person who was farmer A, who put so much into seeds and put all the good seeds and worked hard and gave water and worked hard, in the end, in the harvest time, and his plants and fruits have no taste, something was broken or dead, and it wasn't of any use, no benefit. And second man, farmer B, who didn't work too hard, he'd have fruits with taste and good plants and vegetables and a lot of produce, and his things sold and were in demand, and he was benefiting. So what's the contrast here? So one day farmer A said to farmer B, what's happening here? Why is there so much contrast? You're not working hard. You're not plowing. Compared to me, you are not working as hard as me. And I'm putting good things into my field. And how comes you get the good harvest? He said, you, farmer A, there's a difference between you and me. And what's that, he said? He said that I don't put too much effort on the seeds. I put don't too much effort on the fertility aspect of things. Rather, I work hard on the fact that, you know, the spiders, you know, you have the insects, etc. You know, that I utilize the methods so that the insects or those animals that will come to devour my plants, I pay attention more towards that to diminish that threat. He said, no, I don't do that. Put more seeds in. I put the water in, but I don't put in the chemicals that kill off the dangerous insects. He said, ah, that's the difference. So it's a beautiful example of the pious elders that we do a lot of amal, a lot of action, but our amal will be beneficial when we save our deeds from the insects that will eat them and devour them, which are the sins. So if I don't look after my land, and if I decorate my land with the tahajjud, sadaqat and charity, but I've got sins within my life rotating around me, and the sins are there and they're increasing and they're in parallel, the sins, then they will eat all of the seeds and all of the fertile land. They will devour all of the goodness in my land, and they won't allow my good deeds to grow and give benefit. So the point here is that, what a great point, the one amal close to Allah, that if the insan fills his whole stack of deeds with the tahajjud and nawafil ibadah, but if you do tawbah from one sin, Allah, after today I will save my eyesight, I won't do zina, I do tawbah, I repent. And I'll tell you another story, a hadith. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, narrated a hadith. This is a sahih hadith, and he said that there was a man, there were two villages. One village was the village of bad actions, and there was the village of good actions. You know, you have sometimes in one area you have the thieves and the bandits and the criminals, and people say, oh, don't go there, it's a bad place, bad area, rough place, dark. And then there's one area where good people come and other good people come. So there were two villages, one of the good and one of the bad, and there was a village with the bad people, with the bad actions, with the bad effects. And that, from the bad people, one person said that, look, I need to leave those sins, I need to leave the rough way of life, the dark way of life. He made the niyyah, and Allah listens to the man's niyyah. He said, I'm going to leave this place, and I'm not going to go back towards this deed. And he started to walk towards the good city, the good town, the good village. This is a hadith. And when he started to walk, then he passed away. He passed away. And when he passed away, then the angels came from one side. So from one side came the shaitan to grab him, and from the other side came the angels to take him. And there was a clash, shaitan and angels. This is the hadith. And shaitan said, this is my customer, my client. He didn't know in his whole life what was a good deed. Where are you taking him, oh angels? You think he's going to go to paradise? He was a permanent client of mine. I never allowed him to practice a good deed. He didn't know anything about what's a good deed, and what's reward, and what's pleasing God and Allah. And the other side, the angel said, no. He did one thing good. He made a statement. He was going towards the good city, the good town, the good village. And they clashed. And they said, okay, let's ask Allah to make the decision. Let's see what the decision is. So the request went to Allah. And Allah Ta'ala said, decide on this basis. Allah Ta'ala said that Allah Ta'ala knew his amal, Allah knew his deed and what his deeds were before and what he was doing at the time when he repented. Allah said, do this, that which village is he closer to? Whichever village he is closer to, then attach him to that village and give that decision. If he's closer to the village of bad, then take him towards that. And if he's closer to the village of good, then he will go towards the good, he'll get the reward, he'll be saved. And after saying this, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala did one thing. That when they started to measure the land, the distance, and the good village, Allah Ta'ala made it closer to that land, the good village. The good village with the good people. And one hand span, the distance was made closer, and then his body was taken, he was taken into paradise. SubhanAllah. One hand span's length. These are two examples I've given you today. You can't say, no, one good deed did that person do in his life, but he did one deed, he repented. He said, I won't go towards sin after this. Allah loved this. And look at this beautiful point that comes. Allah is Qadir and Mutalik, everything. And if Allah Ta'ala wants to send somebody to Jannah Paradise, so why do they do Ramah? And the angels that take him into paradise, because I am the Qadir and Mutalik. I am the all-powerful. But Allah Ta'ala made a rule of principles of his mercy. Allah Ta'ala said that, how beloved is this action of Tawbah? I love it so much. I prefer it so much. If I wanted, I could send him to the hell. But who could have stopped me? Allah Ta'ala says, I'm the Malik, I'm the Khalik, I'm the creator of Jannah and hell. I'm Rabb. And he could have gone towards the punishments. But Allah Ta'ala gave such an example that how beloved is the action of repentance when a person regrets. And as remorse, Allah says, I love it that I changed the structures and the physical aspects of the earth to benefit that person who did Tawbah. How beloved is a person who sits and says, Allah, I don't want to do anything bad from today. Brothers, this is what we need to think about. Don't have pride on your nawafil, your worship, on your ibadat. Look towards your mistakes. Allah is the Malik, the Khalik, the creator, the owner, the controller. Look at the basis of Allah's pleasure. What does Allah want from us? Allah wants that nobody should disobey me. Nobody should reject my hukam. Allah is the Malik, the owner, he's the controller. He is everything in this universe. Nothing, an atom, a dust speck cannot move without Allah's permission. We are 2 meters high and we dare to reject Allah. Oh, this is a small sin. What does it matter? It doesn't matter. Oh, I can do this. So if we want to be good people with a good consequence, with a good result, I'm speaking to myself, my prayer, my tahajjud, I try so hard, Allah makes us do struggle. We can't do this, can we? We struggle so much, and on top of that, we commit sins. We think sins are small. We go towards haram. We consume people's wealth. We say bad to people, we swear to people, we lie, and we say, oh, this is a small thing. Small thing? Small lie? So where have our amal gone? And that one thing we do, one action good, and we say that we have no other deeds to our name. Yeah, we say our sins is small, it's not minor, it's not important. But despite the fact I've got no good deeds in my name, if I leave the bad action, Allah, from today I'm not going to do this, a dirty action. You don't like this, Allah, after today I won't repeat this action. Jannah, you'll get to Jannah, success on the doors. Allah writes that I have sent this person to Jannah. Both examples are unique, and Allah Ta'ala subhanAllah made this apparent that how I make that person beloved to me, it's not necessary that it has to be a person who's worshipping, who's my beloved. So quickly you don't get these examples. He has to pray salah in a good way, and I did this, and he did this and this action. Allah Ta'ala says thousands of many defects maybe in my action. Allah Ta'ala will look at the points. Did he have pride in his salah? Was he showing people? Was he showing off? Was his prostration good? Did he have niyyah? Why was he standing like this? Was he showing to the people? Thousands of criteria have to be passed for your salah to be accepted. But if you want to leave the sins, Allah looks at nothing. No precondition. That's it. He's accepted Allah. Allah, my Rabb doesn't like the sin. He does tawbah. That's it. End of story. Allah will not ask for anything more. Allah will not delve into and dissect hadith. Do you understand? We should try it through this. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq for this. And dhikr, adhkar, that we do for this reason. That Allah Ta'ala may instill noor and light into our hearts. And what's the benefit of the light of dhikr? Dhikr is a noor. Dhikr is what? It's a light, it's a light, it's a means, it's a guidance. And if the light doesn't come into the heart, then what happens? There's darkness. And if you switch this light off now, what will be there around us? Darkness. And when the light comes, there will be light and we can see. So brothers, dhikr is noor. And the heart is a place that needs the light. And how do we enlighten the heart? How do we enlighten the heart? The light is dhikr Allah. Allah says it himself. So when we don't do dhikr, if we leave dhikr, then there's darkness upon darkness. And if there's darkness in my heart, then how will I recognize this is bad, this is good? Then that's my standard. If I say something's good, it's good. If I say something's bad, it's bad. I define it myself. What I want to do, I'll do. What I want to leave, I'll leave. What I accept, I accept. What I can leave, I can leave. That's my own principle, my own basis. That's not the basis of success. But when the light goes in the heart, suddenly the farak, the difference, ah, this is right, Allah said. This is wrong, Allah said. Dhikr is this benefit and consequence. And the lights come, the rays come, understanding, consciousness. No. Oh, I couldn't do it before. But if the whole, all the people, they're doing this good, they're doing this for this reason, because they've got darkness in their heart and they're going towards wrong. But now I've got light and I can't follow the scorpions and the spiders into the serpents, into the grave. No, in the darkness I can't see. But when the light comes, I can catch the serpent and the scorpion and the spiders and insects. I won't see them in the darkness. When the light comes, the question doesn't arise that you'll put your hand into the danger. Will you? Never. So this is the same thing with the heart. When there's darkness in the heart, man runs after all sins. All the sins are implemented. Allah Ta'ala's big disobedient actions are done. And he doesn't have any feeling and awareness because there's darkness. He doesn't know where he's putting his hand. But when he does the dhikr of Allah, he starts the dhikr of Allah, the light comes. And as soon as the light comes, he sees, Allah, this is a bad action. The light's coming to me. I understand now. I can see the sins. And he doesn't go towards the bad deeds. And this is the objective of dhikr of Allah. One, Allah says, dhikr kathiran kathira. In abundance, do a dhikr as much as you can. Enlighten your heart as much as you can. The more your heart is enlightened, the more light comes and the more nur comes, the same you will feel and have the awareness. And then we'll say, no, this is wrong. We shouldn't do this. I don't do this action. Because I can see the ill effect. I can see the consequence of this action, that there's the punishment of Jahannam. I cannot do this, brothers. Forgive me, I can't do this anymore. I'll stay hungry, I will stay thirsty, and whatever my halat, my condition, but I won't do this sin because this direct gives me Jahannam, the fire. That's the reason that the walis of Allah, their hearts are enlightened due to doing dhikr, and they don't go towards the sins. So brothers, whenever you see somebody who is going towards sin, then don't speak bad of that person. If he's gone towards sins, don't say bad to the person. Try to bring that person towards dhikr of Allah. That's the first thing to do. First thing, don't criticize someone, don't criticize him, scold him, and say bad to him. Look, this person's off track, this man, this child, he's doing bad actions with love and muhabbat and affection. Try to bring that person to the gathering of dhikr. Why? That person doesn't, if he comes to dhikr, and the light will come into the heart, and Allah Ta'ala's love will come to the heart. This is the praise of Allah Ta'ala's dhikr that Allah Ta'ala's defined for us. So if we with our brother, we love our brother. Brother doesn't mean just your blood brother. Your blood relation, every Muslim brother, every person we know, somebody, every human being is gone the wrong path, say with them with love and affection, come with me to dhikr one day, sit with me, you, all, me, this is how we came. We were off track, we were astray, somebody brought us, me, you, somebody brought you, and now you're stuck in a dead with the fadl of Allah, with Allah's grace, is it not? This was the case. So, if you see somebody, he's doing an impure action, a dirty action, a sin, or it doesn't matter how much you tell someone, he won't listen. Open Quran, Hadith, try to scold people. We're in that day and age today, that no argument can win over a person. You can't convince, you cannot convince the lecture, Hadith or Quran. Then the person starts to argue, he gives his dalil, you give your dalil. You will give your proofs and he'll give your proofs, and a tension comes in between. So there's wahid, one cure, no problem brother, you're right, but come with me and do dhikr. And just come and sit and do dhikr, how you enjoy it. And drag him to dhikr, and then the light of Allah Ta'ala's fadl will come into the heart of that person. Two things will be attained, the company of Allah, his friend, and the second thing will be dhikr of Allah, and the effects will come with the fadl of Allah into the person's heart. So this is Allah Ta'ala's great ni'mah to the makhluk. This is a big service to the creation of Allah. We look left and right, the mahol, the generation, difficulties and challenges and problems. Allah Ta'ala says, you're doing tabligh and you call people to the deen and you have affection to people, but why don't you call this person to Allah? Allah, don't you see which direction this person's going to? He's gone to the bad side, to the bad angle, to the bad path. Call him. They come to dhikr, and Allah's karam, every masjid is doing this, this dhikr. Oh, I live there. Okay, go and do dhikr there. I live in this area. Let him come once, and if he doesn't come after, maybe, fair enough. But come first time, come, I take you. It's a great gathering. And if Allah accepts Allah Ta'ala and is still into his heart, he's come, and then you will get the reward as well, and he will be successful as well. But today, in this day and age, let me explain clearly. If you want somebody to change and improve, if you want to improve somebody, then why there's one cure? Dhikr of Allah. Remembrance of Allah. That's it. That's it. As today I've spoken to you, that leave the sins, and you want to leave the sins, then do dhikr kathiran kathir. That's it. And if we don't leave the sins and the dark action, then I've told you the hadith, then there's no benefit. There's no benefit of dhikr, of tahajjud, of amal, of deeds, of hajj or umrah or anything. Keep on going. And go and do tawaf and come and hajj and do hajj and come back, but there's no benefit. The benefit is there when we please Allah and then do the actions. One is the tahajjud, where we displease Allah and pray tahajjud, isn't it? We oppress somebody, we've done dhulam to someone, we've broken someone's rights, taken someone's money, lied, committed fraud, we've done haram, we've made jais and interest, we've made haram, halal and lawful, and all the things Allah Ta'ala has told us to stop, we made them halal. And we've never thought that I will go and ask and research that, is this good? Is this proper? Is this correct what I'm doing? No, it's okay. I can do this. It happens. Everything happens. So in such a situation, to displease Allah, a person's praying tahajjud, what's he doing? Think. There are two tahajjud. One is tahajjud, we first please Allah and pray tahajjud. And one is we displease Allah and then pray tahajjud. And you'll see the difference in both. Difference in both, we will see the ibadah. So the point of what I'm trying to say is that we need to spend more effort and time and asset and thoughts and fikr on our sins and our bad actions. Don't hide them. We need to look for our sins. You know, like when we look in the mirror, we look for our defects on our face. We needed to book the mirror of our sins. And I need to say, oh, I'm not ashamed. I did this sin. I'm doing dhikr. Am I not ashamed? I'm praying salah. And I did these wrong actions. I just lied. I just deceived. I just signed fraudulently for this money. I just did this bad action. I just swore at this person just now. I just broke the heart of this person. We need to ask questions of ourselves. And if it comes into my mind, I'm not going to do this sin again, suddenly I'll become successful upon successful. Two hadith are presented today. So today's subject matter is this. Alhamdulillah, that this is the new path to attain the reward. May Allah Ta'ala give me the tawfiq and you all. Ameen. And now let's go towards the dhikr of Allah.